You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 1. It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by 1 in 100.
Yeah, hi, it's Bill Lumberg again. Yeah, it isn't a half day or anything like that.
Who gives a f***?
Why aren't you at work?
Because I didn't feel like it.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050. The Leafs live here.
This song has been basically our go-to every Friday at 4 p.m. just to set the mood on a big weekend coming up in Toronto.
I think it's top three Peeler tune of all time.
Yeah, it's an outstanding track. It's a great way to set us off this afternoon.
Yeah, it actually is. Now, there's a... I think... And this is Poison, right? Yeah, but there's a Motley Crue Netflix movie coming out, I believe. And it looks explosive. Because it's off the book, The Dirt. I don't know if you've ever read that book.
Is that Nikki Sixx in his
book? It's actually just called Motley Crue, The Dirt.
Oh, okay.
You could poll, though. Like, what would be the best or the most popular... You know, during the set, you got to go with one slow tune. What's the most popular slow tune Peel tune of all time?
Is it Winds of Change by Scorpions?
Oh, man. Can you pull that up, Mal, so we can hear that?
To the magic. You know that tune? That's where the blanket just gets flapped.
Blanket flaps and heaven starts.
It's so funny, the 80s hair metal bands,
like
when they try to play
Poison and Crue,
Guns N' Roses. Scorpions. Because it's not that they're
what
not
a
great
veteran
songs.
Call, though, by the way. He picked that out of the air like within seconds.
Right. But when they try to get like musical and.
Down to go.
This
guy is. I think the lead singer's name is Klaus. Scorpions, I've seen them several times in concert. They're outstanding.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with their catalog.
You don't know this song?
Well, I've heard the song before, yeah. But Scorpion in general, I couldn't name you more than this song.
Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Wait for this. Okay. Wait for this.
It's got the whistling.
Oh.
And then it actually speeds up. Like, once the chorus comes, the drum gets involved.
All right, we're not playing the whole track here.
No, you got to wait for the main part, though.
We're actually not going to break down the song.
Take me.
Yeah, it's taking too long.
Yeah, he's got still.
It's enough, man. Because, again, the 80s, the hair metal, when they try to
stretch it out to 9-minute song.
Too much. Like,
that's disrespecting that song.
November Rain is one of the great tracks ever. Great track. But it's like an 8-minute song. It's got three separate guitar solos. Takes over the song for like 45 seconds on three different occasions. And it's a great tune, but it's like, come on.
Was it your go-to at the high school dances?
November Rain? I don't know. It's a bit depressing.
Stairway to Heaven.
Yeah, like, I guess
there
so.
Were some dances where, back in the day, that's where you got all the feels.
Wow.
You had literally.
That's where supervision had... That's where the balloon comes in between, where people, like, you had to...
Yeah, parents had to be around.
Absolutely.
And the teachers had to be around as they
I'm going to be a chaperone at some point
at
a dance.
Oh, I plan on it. I plan on being a chaperone.
Oh, yeah.
I will be a chaperone every
day. I say all three of us, we do the chaperone at all of our kids' dances. Just the team.
All three of us show up, the Overdrive chaperones.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
I could do that.
Absolutely.
Watch yourself.
Well, our boy Jason Strudwick is supposed to join us at 4:30.
So we say, I got to send the grappler as his number.
Yeah, there's no guarantees, but he was supposed to be on a couple of
weeks
ago.
Us. Yeah.
No, he was being
on a big day.
Well, it was last Wednesday or two Wednesdays ago when McDavid and the Oilers were here. Last week, I guess.
Yeah. He pretended that he missed out on the call. But today,
I think he intentionally flushed the call. He had other things going on, I guess, or he just forgot. But
no, he admitted it. He's like, I flat out forgot. I'm like, how do you forget? Like, I had talked to you the day before. It was disappointing. I mean, we're going to, and I told him, we tuned him up. On the show.
Yeah, we did. We took many runs at Strutty. So we'll probably do the same thing today at 4:30. But
exactly.
The Leafs are in Edmonton tomorrow night. 5 p.m. local start in Edmonton.
There you go.
Because generally speaking, it's been Vancouver for years, the Saturday game.
The 4 o'clock.
5:40 local time?
5 p.m. local. It's a 7 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah. It's hockey night.
Yeah, it's a hockey night.
That's... In Toronto, it's got to be at 7 o'clock.
They hate that.
And it hasn't been in Edmonton probably since the 80s. Like, I don't know when the last time. It's always been the late Vancouver.
And you know the Edmonton Oilers fans are thinking, we have McDavid now. It should be 10 p.m. local time. Or
8 p.m.
8 p.m. local time.
They do, but that's what it is. It's when the Leafs play out here, the 7 o'clock game. Either Calgary, Edmonton, or Vancouver always play that late game. But because the Leafs are out there, that's the Leafs are the early slot.
Absolutely. So they never change.
They're out there. Well, the Habs play tonight, back-to-back. That's right. They played San Jose last night. They play Anaheim tonight. So they're not even playing. So that would be the only one that sometimes is challenged.
I'm not sure what the doubleheader is. It would be kind of wild if it was Calgary, because it's just, like, whatever it is, 3 hours down the road.
Yeah.
One team's playing at 5 local, and the other team's playing at 8 local.
Calgary just played back-to-back and lost both of them. So they've lost 4 in a row.
Now, yeah.
Maybe I was the bad luck. I started it last weekend. Lost to Mini, and then they lost to Vegas. Arizona last night lost 2-1, so they're reeling a little bit.
Yeah, and San Jose's a point behind them now with a game in hand.
Yeah.
So you got a real race there because nobody wants to play Vegas.
Lots of real races going
on. Yeah, you do.
What do you think? Like, you wonder. You just said Vegas. You wonder like what Mark Stone's thinking. Like, how much does he love his life right now? He's in Vegas. They haven't lost since he's been there.
Yeah, he's been and he's in Vegas.
He could tee it up, play golf.
Not to mention, he just signed an 8-year, $9 million deal.
And he hasn't had to come in as a savior. He's come in as a guy who.
I mean, ultimately, he's going to have to start performing. But
yeah, but what I'm saying is, they weren't relying on Mark Stone to put them over the top immediately, to put them in a playoff spot. Like Columbus, different story, right? You trade for those guys, and you need them in the lineup to help put you over the top. You trade for Mark Stone, and you're Vegas, and you're a pretty good team. I mean, Columbus, I'm watching one of the best goalies on the planet as a healthy scratch last night. I didn't understand that. Unless Bob is... Did I miss something? Was Bobrovsky...
No, it was for rest, and they're dying to make the playoffs, and they don't play again till Saturday.
But against that one, Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was the explanation from Tortorella.
Right, because I was obviously called a game last night, so I missed on the explanation.
He had played 8 games in a row, 14 of 15, and I guess his numbers weren't good against Pittsburgh, and they decided we want to give him a night off for whatever reason.
Right.
But it didn't matter. Even if he played last night, they didn't score. They got shut out.
2 games in a row.
Like, Matt Duchene, if this guy doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders, I don't know how he's sleeping at night. It's a team sport, but he gets traded to Ottawa 2 years ago, or last year, and the wheels fall off to the point where they become the biggest disaster in hockey. Not because of him, but again, the symbolism there. He gets acquired, and they fall apart. This guy gets acquired by Columbus, and they can't win. They can't win.
Yeah,
that's not just him. The whole team obviously can't score, and the whole team isn't performing well enough. But they gave up another first-round pick for this guy. Plus, and Matt Duchene is there, and you got to think this guy's looking around saying, what is going on here? Like, why do I have the magic touch of poison? Why am I poison when I get acquired?
They got to get going. I mean,
they have to get going.
I still believe they'll make the playoffs, but they're not the way they're playing right now. They can't score.
Well, now they're 4 back at Pittsburgh, and if they lose tomorrow night in reg, that's it. Pittsburgh's gone. They're not catching Pitt, so you're holding the Carolina.
But that's a 3 spot.
They're in Columbus.
I still think
Columbus, Pittsburgh. Oh my!
Yes, but I think Columbus is pushing. Like I think they're going to be in a wild card spot. That's not for the third. I still think Carolina's a team that comes out. Now Montreal's on thin ice too because Carolina has 2 games in hand. But I would, instinctually trust Price over the combination of Mrazek and McElhinney, although McElhinney's numbers are Vezina-like. I did a forensic audit the other day of some of the goaltenders. If McElhinney played 45 games this year, 50 games with those types of numbers, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the point. He can't play it.
You're right. That's why number 2 goaltenders play 30 games, play 28, play 33.
It's like me saying if I ate twice a week, I'd be skinny.
Well, this is why I get a little frustrated with people that always prorate. Well, this guy's on pace for 75 goals. Well, he's only played 25 games. Okay, well, I get it. The goals per game means something. Same thing with goaltenders. But, when people are like, Antti Raanta's an elite goaltender. Well, he's hurt all the time, unfortunately, and I knock on wood for him. I think he's a good goaltender. But is he ever going to play 60 games for Arizona? I don't think so.
Well, it's funny you mentioned that number in particular, and we're talking about this position, because the Leafs are practicing in Vancouver, and then they're flying to Edmonton tonight, and Mike Babcock was just asked about that number he was throwing out earlier in the week,
56.
About 56 games.
Yeah.
And he's come out, and he's clarified, I misspoke. Babcock said he misspoke, the math was wrong.
He misremembered me. He's Rafael Palmeiro.
It was Roger Clemens that misremembered.
No, it was Andy Pettit, I think. That Roger Clemens never said that.
I think maybe all of us are misremembering, but I'm pretty sure it was Roger Clemens.
You might be right. He said, I misremember that. Which is just a crazy comment to make.
In front of Congress.
Yeah.
So anyway, Babcock said, quote, we got the schedule all laid out. I feel like he'll get around 60 starts, but who knows? So, in other words, another 10 or 11 games.
But he misspoke. I remember thinking right away.
He didn't
miss. His math, I think he did. There was no chance in his mind he's going, we've got 16 games left. Garrett Sparks gets 8 of them.
No.
There's not a chance.
He's too smart a guy to... He threw that out there for a reason. Like, he doesn't make a hiccup like that.
You're right, but I don't know
what his motive was, but there was a reason he said that, and he was trying to prove a point or send a message.
But
he's too smart a guy to just misremember. Okay,
but
you're right.
I think everything Mike Babcock does is calculated. But my point being, if there were 16 games left, and you're out west, wouldn't Vancouver be Sparks' game?
Well, exactly.
We talked
about that yesterday,
right.
But exactly. You would have thought against Vancouver, one of the worst teams in the league, that's the one where you give him off, you know, Monday to Saturday. He plays Monday in Calgary. He's off until Saturday in Edmonton. That's a big gap. It didn't happen. And if he's going to play 11 of the final 15 games, because his 50th start would be tomorrow night, and he's starting tomorrow night,
right?
Then Sparks is basically going to get the back-to-backs.
Three back-to-backs, and then probably Montreal the last game of the season.
Maybe if they're solidified. But if they're not, if they need those points, Freddie will probably play.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If you're a Leaf fan and you're watching that Bruins-Panthers game last night with a minute and a half left, you're like, there we go.
Yeah.
There it is. It's over. The streak is over. And then they score twice in like the final minute.
6 seconds left, too.
And they win in regulation. And the Bruins have points in 18 straight, I believe it is.
Yeah, 14-0-4, they are.
And that's all without Pastrnak for the most part. So that's why, you know, blowing that point on Wednesday night was significant, because now the Leafs are four back of Boston.
Yeah.
And yes, they have the tie break in terms of ROW, but that's starting to close a little bit in terms of that gap. And I don't care what people on the outside think. I would be shocked if Mike Babcock wasn't salivating over the idea of home ice. I'm sure he's dying for it. Why would you not? Why would you mess? Like, if it's going to be a 50-50 series, which I think it will be, I don't think anything will change from a year ago. It'll be a coin flip. We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Why would you not put yourself in the best position to succeed with home ice? Why would you not do that? Like, it's shocked me. Like, we had Jonas in here yesterday. The amount of people that are like, nah, doesn't matter. Why would it not matter?
Well,
why, like, it doesn't have to matter. It doesn't mean if you have home ice, you're guaranteed to win.
Right.
Game 7, wouldn't you want it at home? I don't care about anything else. That last game, you wanted it at home.
Of course you would.
So here's the underlying question then. At what expense? So do you run Anderson right till the end? Do you run him, what do they got left, 15, did I say?
15
do you run
games.
Him, do you run him 12 out of 15? Three back-to-backs, Garrett Sparks plays, but the other 12 are Frederik Andersen. Because now he's at the 63 or 4 game mark, which I don't think is the worst thing in the world. But if ultimately your whole focus is winning that first round, then is it worth it to add 180 minutes technically, that's 3 games, workload onto your starter?
An extra 90 to 110 shots.
Yeah,
yes, 30. You know, listen, I think... As of this moment,
yes,
it is. If they lose tomorrow night and the Bruins go 6 points up, then it might change. Like,
right.
It honestly, I think it's a
moving target.
It's a moving target. If you're within striking distance, I think you put the pedal to the metal and you try to get home ice. But if you look at it and you're a realist, and someone might have to shake Babcock and make him a realist as opposed to an idealist and still try to portray this idea that you can find a way to win home ice. But if Boston gets 5-6 points up on you, then I'm shutting them down.
Right.
I would absolutely shut him down. And I wouldn't just shut him down. Morgan Riley's sitting a couple of games.
Right.
John Tavares, you can sit. I know Marlowe wants to play because he's got the Iron Man streak. I would do whatever I could to convince him to sit.
Well,
I would do whatever I could.
You start to scale minutes, too, right? Like, you can quietly draw a guy back. If you take 3 or 4 minutes off a guy's workload within a game, it's not resting him, but it certainly isn't taxing him. Here's the other thing, and I'll come back to it because I believe I said it on Wednesday. The games that Frederik Andersen doesn't play, that they're not throwaway games. Garrett Sparks is in the NHL for a reason, regardless of what, you know, if you believe McElhinney. I saw a little bit of your bit yesterday. You guys, you know, should you have kept McElhinney, all of that. They kept Sparks. Sparks has to win games. So if Garrett Sparks gets a start, well, it's not going to happen in Edmonton, but say it's next week, he can't just go in there and be a jersey filler. He's got to give them 2 points.
I think we were talking about Jamie yesterday was if Babcock had a choice.
Yeah.
Because he loved McElhinney. Like
he did. McElhinney was, I mean, he's a veteran pro that worked really well with Freddie.
Exactly.
I'm not suggesting that Sparks doesn't work very well with Freddie, but there's a different layer. Freddie's a veteran goaltender that relies, I'm sure, on another voice in the room. Garrett Sparks is new to the league. So he's not going to be able to go to Freddie at a TV timeout and go, you know, my experience in that left corner on the Zamboni room or Zamboni door, you got to be careful of that bounce. Whereas a guy like McElhinney has played in all the buildings, he's
been
seen
around
everything.
Forever.
He's kind of he that the value of having a veteran backup compared to a young. Would I have made the choice? I mean, we talked about it. Sparks had done nothing to not earn a right at the National Hockey League level. That's the one thing that can't be forgotten. I mean, he was a top goalie in the AHL last year. Different story, different team, all of that. But how he progresses, he needs to take that next step and be a trusted backup. And it's not just...
As of right now, it hasn't happened. And the thing is, you know, you can earn whatever you want. It doesn't mean you're warned. You're not guaranteed anything in
Correct.
Life. And the
Right.
fact is, you know, you said it before, there are a lot of guys in the American Hockey League that are lighting that league up and
Brilliant.
Winning awards and look great. The reason they're not in the NHL isn't because they haven't earned the opportunity. It's because scouts, and this is what they're paid for, watch them and say, I can't picture him translating to success in the NHL.
You said it yesterday, and I agreed. I was actually watching the bit, and I agreed. Because that's what scouts get paid for, is how it translates at the National Hockey League. There are guys... I've drawn a blank on his name. It'll come to me. There was a dominant AHL player. Dominant. Steve Maltese. I don't even know if you've heard that
remember,
name.
You know, here, I'll give you a more recent one. TJ Brennan.
Okay,
TJ Brennan, every year, best
defenseman
in the league, all-star,
Couldn't
point
play.
Of game, and everyone knew it. They're like, this guy can't play in the NHL.
But you're
Jeremy
right.
Bracco's creeping up towards the same thing.
How it translates to the NHL and how you're slotted, that's ultimately... On the player if they get an opportunity. But that's my point, is Garrett Sparks has to be good when he gets an opportunity.
Nazem Kadri's back. He was practicing today. He's going to play tomorrow. Like Babcock said, it's good to have him back. He's an important piece, blah, blah, blah. So there's going to have to be some roster movement at some point. Frederik Gauthier was not on the ice for practice. So we're trying to figure out, was that maintenance? Was it an injury? Is it a roster maneuver? Because if it was a roster maneuver, that is a significant development here, because that would be the GM saying, well, Nick Petan's your guy on the fourth line, and Frederik Gauthier is not. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know. We'll find out what comes out of practice and what the story is with Frederik Gauthier. Mail-in and Friday brought to you by 1in100.net. Win killer seats to any Toronto game for less than the cost of a pitcher of beer. Just go to 1in100.net. So I have so many pieces of paper here. We got the grappler in today. The Graps is here, and it's very confusing because I have a million different
songs.
Pieces of paper. But
in 20 years on this job, I've never seen so many pieces of paper.
Every Friday until the end of the regular season, 1050 and redtag.ca will send a lucky winner and a guest on a Maple Leaf playoff road trip. You've been entering on Instagram all week long, and it is finally time to announce a winner. So our first handle, this is the winner if you call in within the next 10 minutes and 50 seconds to 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. The winning handle is courtesy of Henry Deneen at Hanky Noodle.
Yankee Doodle?
At Hanky Noodle is the Instagram handle that we're looking for. We're seeking out a Hanky Noodle.
There you go.
You have 10 minutes and 50 seconds to call 416-870-1050 and claim your trip for two, or we will have to announce somebody else in 10 minutes and 51 seconds. Jason Strudwick coming up. Tough 24 hours for the city of Buffalo. We'll talk about that next. I think we've played this game before. Like, we created this game, and then we just... Like a lot of things on this show, it just kind of died.
Which one did...
Confirm or deny.
Ooh.
Which is effectively a way for us to dance around yes guy, no guy. It's basically the same thing, only it's called confirm or deny.
I like the confirm.
Fergie, is that guy going to get traded? I can't confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
So that is Barry Trotz, but we're just going to pretend it's John Ferguson Jr. because he said the same thing at every single press conference, and we've been searching for that audio
that
for
was
10 years.
About Robin Leonard's upper body injury, but that's a Lewis.
It's the same thing.
Are you wearing a blue suit, Fergie?
I can't confirm or deny.
He couldn't confirm or deny anything.
If he had a blue suit on. So we're going to do that around 5:30.
Nice.
But we actually have to confirm or deny. You know, there's no, we can't sit on the fence like Fergie or like Barry Trotz. And you'll notice, anyone that says I can't confirm or deny, they're confirming it.
Yes.
That's it. They're like, you know, this,
they're confirming
this is true,
it, but denying
it,
saying, I don't know.
Hey, I didn't. Did you hear me say deny?
Right.
Because I always
said
deny.
I can't confirm or deny.
Yeah, but you're basically confirming it. Tough 24 hours for the city of Buffalo, because it was exciting at around 11 p.m. last night. Ian Rappaport, who's an insider and a connected guy.
Yeah.
Like, this wasn't some plug in a basement. He tweets out that Antonio Brown is on his way to Buffalo. Like, it's not official, but it's going there. It's going to get done.
Yeah,
it's
trending in that direction.
Trending in that direction. And then you start to wait for more confirmation, and then other news starts to come out. I'm not necessarily hearing that. I'm not sure it's going to happen. And then
the player.
You wake up this morning and you realize it didn't happen. And this is my understanding, is that the Bills and the Steelers had essentially worked out a deal. I don't think they had crossed every T and dotted every I,
right,
but they were in a ballpark where it was like, okay, both parties were comfortable. So the Steelers gave the Bills permission to speak with Antonio Brown's agent.
Yeah.
Because Brown wants a new deal and worked out a new deal. And I guess then what happened was either the Bills weren't willing to pay him, or Antonio Brown said, I'm not going to Buffalo.
Yeah,
I'm not showing up.
Why wouldn't you be willing to pay
him? Or a combination of both.
Probably a combination of both. Well, he's 31 years old. He's obviously a pain in the ass.
Yes.
Like, the guy quit on his team in week 17.
That's what I can't understand. Like, who would want to bring this guy into the fold? Desperation is the only thing that would bring him into the fold.
But wouldn't he put the Bills on the map a little bit more?
He would help out Josh Allen significantly. He's still one of the top three or four wideouts in the game, even at 31. This guy puts up monster numbers every year. I think he had 15 touchdowns last year and almost 1,300 yards receiving. He's a beast.
You don't think Terry Pegula would spend the money?
He would.
I believe the Pegulas would write a blank check for him.
I think he probably would. Now, there's still a salary cap that you have to consider.
Right.
I think the holdup for the Bills and other teams are, it's one or the other. If I'm going to pay you a first-round pick to acquire you, and then I got to pay you, that's too much in terms of the grand scheme of what we're trying to build here. But what it turned into was just people goofing on Buffalo, you know, because, of course, Brown doesn't want to go there. And I understand why they're sensitive in Buffalo. I get it. You know, they have an inferiority complex down there because, you know, the stadium's old, the city is what it is, the weather's bad. But their fans, man, are fully committed.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's necessarily about Brown thinking, oh, I don't want to live in Buffalo or play in Buffalo. The guy's been living and playing in Pittsburgh. It's not like Pittsburgh's Paris.
No.
You know, it's not.
He's not in Vegas.
No, he's not. I think it's more to do with the fact that he doesn't trust the Bills. And quite frankly, I don't blame him.
I don't either.
They have been a mess for 20 years. So you're going to have to deal with your reputation. You know, sometimes that reputation speaks for itself, and it's going to cost you players. But now the Steelers are screwed, because if the Bills aren't willing to do it, I don't know where he's going to go. Yeah. I think he wants to get cut. I think he's trying to dance his way out of this situation so he gets paid, gets cut, and then he can sign wherever he wants, as opposed to being traded.
And then double dip again.
And then he gets paid by the Steelers. He'll get paid by his new team.
Well, he's a great player.
He's a great player, but We'll see. So tough 24 hours for Buffalo, New York.
I also saw my former favorite wide receiver, Danny Amendola, is cut by the Dolphins. Guess where he'll end up? The Pats. Bring
think
him back.
So? I don't know about that, man.
You don't think Bill will bring him back?
I doubt it. You never know.
On a discount?
I think it might be the end of the road for your boy. All right, Strutty's on the line.
So, well, can we confirm or deny?
I don't know. Play the tape by
this
Barry Trotz.
I can't confirm or deny.
I can't confirm or deny that our buddy Jason Strudwick is
this
on the line.
Because he bailed the last time we were supposed to have.
What was it, about 10 days ago?
Not even, I don't think.
He was probably getting a skullet cut.
What's the explanation for last week, Strutty?
You know, I felt badly. I was in a pretty intense workout. I was working through my thousand squats. I know you three guys don't do any. I've seen your bodies. So I was trying to do it for all of us. And I apologize. I missed it, boys. I was trying to make you better.
Well, you didn't. You didn't make us better. We're worse. Yeah. Believe me. If you looked at the bodies today, you haven't seen us in a couple of years.
Yeah, you haven't seen my legs. I need to get on and do some squats. But I've seen your legs, and I'm surprised that you even use the word squats because you've got the chicken legs.
Well, they're like a thoroughbred, like a horse. Horses don't have big, strong legs. They have their very strong legs, but they're not big. You don't need that mass. You need speed. And that's what I've got in these bad boys, like a quick little thoroughbred. More like a pony, maybe, than a big horse, but still quite quick and agile.
What, was anyone scoping your frame out during the workout or just by yourself?
Well, that's the hard part. I have to actually go into a private gym because people can get distracted. You know, it's not fair. I mean, I'm like, focus on your own thing. I don't need another spot, lady. I'm fine. I don't need you to spot me. I got it. And I've actually had to resort to wearing sweatpants to the gym. Yeah. Kind of like you, O-Dog.
That's right. The strutty squats.
It's a tough pill to swallow when you got to resort to sweatpants.
Yeah.
Well, just to hide the buns. You know, I can't show the buns off.
Well, what's up with your team out there, man? Are they starting to feel it? They got another win last night. They're still 7 points out of the playoffs, but are people starting to believe in Edmonton or what?
Well, there's two ways to look at it. But first off, I've been on teams that, you know, they were playing up the stretch, and it's awful. I mean, it's not fun. No one enjoys it. But as long as there's that glimmer of hope, you're still engaged. You know, and they do have a very slight glimmer. I haven't looked at the updated percentages today, but you know, they have a glimmer, and that gets you guys, the group, engaged and going. And now you have guys like Zach Kassian contributing. You have Koskinen, who's making a lot of big saves for the Oilers. You've got a guy like Andre Sequeira, who's come back, and I think he's played 8 or 9 games, and he's kind of solidified that third pairing and got Matt Benning kind of calmed down and playing well, and the defense looks a little more organized now. So, and even Sam Gagner. Sam Gagner traded him for Ryan Spooner. He's come in, and he created a big opportunity last night for Chiasson to score a goal. So you've kind of got these pieces that have come together that are kind of, you wouldn't think, oh, my God, look, we just got Mark Stone or you just got Duchesne. But you've got pieces that have kind of, maybe the sum of them are collect more, add up to more than just individual parts, and they're getting it done. And it's good to keep this team engaged because if it doesn't, then you just fall off the map and you got guys just, you know, diving for the exits.
So do you have Hitch tomorrow in front of the media in Edmonton and the media in Toronto saying that McDavid's going to be a beast and all of that, because that's what he was saying. And I think a lot of people believed it. He was coming off of a 2-game suspension going home to Toronto. And I think that was his worst game probably that I've seen him play.
He was not
in
good.
Weeks. I mean, maybe even longer, because he's such a dominant player. I don't know if he wanted it too much. He just put too much pressure on himself. But, you know, I've watched all the games. Like, even last night's game, that pass to Kassian, that, I don't know if you guys saw it, a little shake-and-bake play was ridiculous at high rate. But, you know, is Hitch still kind of firing out these, like, comments to kind of put pressure on the guys, or is he taking a step back?
Well, I mean, first off, it's hard to play in the shadow of Marner and Matthews. I mean, that'd be hard for any player to come into Toronto and have to deal with that. But if we want to move past that, you move into the situation where, you know, where Connor's a proud guy, you know, and I don't know that a guy like Connor McDavid needs his coach to tell him, you know, or to try to prod him through the media or to get him going to go. I mean, Connor McDavid's one of those, and it is rare, you know, a guy who is exceptionally talented, but exceptionally motivated. And, you know, we saw a guy in Joe McGinley his jersey retired last Saturday, and I saw Noodles. I'm glad they put you in the back row. They didn't want to lose too many viewers. But when you get up to a guy like that, where they have the combined effort and that skill, you really get something special. And so you don't need to prod a guy like Connor McDavid. There are other guys I think you have to push and maybe, you know, play some games with, but not a guy like Connor McDavid. So, you know, I think that tomorrow, Connor knows where he's at. He's very self-aware of where his game's at, how he's played. And coming off a two-game suspension is easy, especially when there's a lot of practice time, no matter how good you are. So I do think tomorrow we'll see a Connor McDavid that is more in line with what, you know, people who watch him regularly kind of understand and expect from him on a nightly basis.
Yeah, kind of sounds like how we feel about Andreas Janssen in Toronto, who probably going to be up for the call there, Strutty. Forgot to mention his shadow. And Kasperi Kapanen. There's a bunch of players in Toronto that are going to cast a shadow in Edmonton tomorrow night. 5 p.m. local start. I mean, what are people in Edmonton saying about that? Toronto rolls into town. We always goof on Vancouver. We've been doing it for a decade because Toronto rolls in, and it's like, well, guys like Hayes back home, they've got a routine on a Saturday night. They can't have that bothered. How do the locals feel about a 5 p.m. local start tomorrow night?
Well, first off, I want to apologize for not, congratulating you on a great hashtag Toronto day. That was really special to have that. Just was that yesterday or 2 days ago, and I should have made that earlier.
The Tavares Day in TO, is that what you're talking about?
Oh, it was a beautiful hashtag. Wasn't it Toronto Day yesterday? Hashtag Toronto Day.
No, it was Toronto's birthday, you idiot. It was
that's right. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah. 185 years we've been around.
Is that what it was? I didn't even pay attention. Yeah. I did see that there
Edmonton's
was.
Edmonton's 7 years old.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's great to celebrate. 185, that's unbelievable. Just so much greatness has poured out of that city into the rest of the country.
That's right.
But you know what? We love bending the knee to you guys. You know, whatever time you want to play the game, just let us know. If it'd be more convenient, maybe all the Maple Leafs games should just be at home. So that they don't have to leave, that everyone can just watch the games from the comfort of their home, and Hayes can get into his rocking chair and just get comfortable, and you'll be petting the cat, and I don't know what you do when you watch the games, but I think that whatever works out best for Toronto, we're happy to make that happen out here in Western Canada.
Well, that's good to hear. That should be the case.
Yeah, well, you are, I will say this, Strud, you are going to get an angry Maple Leaf team. They left a point on the table the other day. They well rested, and I don't believe in today's game that the Roxy is giving points away anymore, because I can't see even though that the Leafs stayed in Vancouver for two nights.
They're still there. They're flying in today.
I don't think you're going to get Roxy legs. You're going to get probably the best of the Leafs, and that's going to be a challenge for the Oilers, and that really is going to test the depth. I mean, Hitch has that team playing well, but you know, you have to be honest, when you're going against a team that has that type of depth, you're going to need great goaltending. You're going to need, you know, that shutdown defense, all of that type of stuff. And to me, you have to be on high alert. I mean, is that the rumblings around Edmonton? You got to be realistic, because they are a very good team.
Well, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, Toronto, I mean, I hate to say this, but it's a fun team to watch. I do get to see them play. You know, we do have the TV out here, and we get to watch them play, and they are a good group. But when for the Edmonton Oilers, I had this conversation with a friend today. It's a real dangerous time, I think, for this organization, because you have guys that are playing well at this time, kind of in this, you know, quote unquote stretch dive. But, you know, I don't think it should change the course of what needs to be done to this roster into the offseason, into next year. So, you know, having Cassian play well right now is fantastic. And then he's a guy that, you know, he's a wild card out there. He's hitting. That was a nice play last night to drive the net and have a stick on the ice and tap at 5-hole. And those are all good plays. But, you know, that doesn't necessarily make him a top six forward for your team next year. You have to understand where he's put. Even, you know, a young guy, Josh Curry, who talk about putting pressure on. Why doesn't he just wear 99? He's wearing 43 for the Oilers. That puts a lot of pressure on a guy. But he's out there, and, you know, he's contributing in his way. But does that mean he's a guy in the team next year? So I think it's a real dangerous time for the Edmonton Oilers organization, even though they don't have a GM, to overvalue what this time means. It cannot change what needs to be adjusted as you go into the offseason.
Well, enjoy tomorrow night, Strutty. We always appreciate you finding some time for us. And
what number did you wear for the Oilers?
About 43.
Yeah, that's so why Josh Curry's under so much duress.
Well, he's under pressure. Could you imagine? I mean, like, when he rolled out, I'm like, wow, I'm quite honored, you know, that he must have been a big fan.
Well, that explains why Kadri is returning for tomorrow night's game.
Yeah.
He's got to wear number 43 in that building.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to raise it to the rafters tomorrow.
You know what? I love the way Kadri plays. But you know, it's funny. We were talking about on the show today, like, the greatest number 43s. And it was Kadri, Patrice Brisebois, and Josh Curry. It was, like, in the top 10. So pretty, not a lot of people wore that number.
Did you make it?
Were you at 11th, or where were you at?
Well, I don't want, listen, you guys can make your own list. I know you guys love making lists on your Mail It In Friday. You got not much else going on.
Right. Yeah, we're doing that at 5:30, actually, prime time.
You know what? We should steal that question and find out the best 43s in the game of hockey.
I couldn't name four.
Well, I know. Well, didn't you wear 34? I thought you wore 34.
I did, and then so I arrived here, and Fernando Pisani was wearing 34, and I challenged him. I said, let's go out. I'm not just going to take it from you like I know I can. It's my right. You know, I'll take it, but I won't. I'll play the game of golf. And he chickened out. The guy wouldn't have it.
Oh.
Well, that's a shame. Mm-hmm. Well, you listen.
And he got SARS.
Number 43, yeah. you wore it with pride. You wore it with pride.
Well, it wasn't a great number, but you wear what you get. Whatever. Yeah, you can't see it. You're skating around out there.
That's right. Well, enjoy it tomorrow night, Strutty.
Look at it.
We'll do it again soon. Thank you,
buddy. 5 o'clock. I'll have a nap so I can watch the game early.
You got it, man. Take it deep tomorrow night for us. There's Jason Strudwick from TSN Radio in Edmonton. Tom Wilson wears number 43.
That would probably be, Kadri and Wilson would be.
Kadri, Darren Helm, Connor Sheary. These are guys in the league right now. Danton Heinen, Daniel Carr in Montreal.
Yeah.
There's a few guys.
Strutty wore 34 for a good chunk of his career, too. That's I think in Vancouver he was 34. But
Rangers.
Yeah. But, I mean, what number? You were 91 the whole time through?
92.
The whole way?
The whole shooting match.
Ray's coming up. Confirm or deny it around 5:30.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and Charlie Montoyo, he's getting creative down in Dunedin. He's got a plan for tomorrow. I'm curious to find what you guys feel about this or hear how you guys feel about it. We'll tell you about it next. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up. Marcellus Wiley will join us at 6:25. We haven't caught up with Marcellus in a couple of weeks. Just get his take on the whole Antonio Brown, Buffalo Bills story from last night, where it sure sounds like the Bills thought they were close to making a deal, and then Antonio Brown effectively said, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to be playing in Buffalo. But thank you. I appreciate the interest. So we'll catch up with Marcellus later in the afternoon. I saw Gregor Chisholm from MLB.com, who covers the Jays, and he's down in Dunedin, tweet this out earlier, that tomorrow morning, the Blue Jays clubhouse, they're going to have a hypnosis comedian come in. So,
really?
Yes. Charlie Montoyo, who's the new manager, he's like, I'm trying to do something different, keep it light, keep it fun.
So the hypnosis comedian, I've seen them, like at Klondike Days in Edmonton and Calgary Stampede.
They're big at like universities
they make
and colleges and
do
stuff.
The chicken and take their shirts off and do funny things,
and
right?
Like, say stupid stuff. Say, like, I guess that's what the plan is tomorrow.
Just to have some fun?
I guess. I mean, I got to be honest. I think it's outside the box thinking.
Sure it is.
It's different. I'm not convinced all the players are going to think it's a fun idea, though. Like, I got a feeling there might be a couple of vets that are like, it's the major leagues. Why is this comedian in my clubhouse right now? Like, who is this guy? And you know the comedian's going to come in and be some goofy local guy from Dunedin with, you know, who knows what his story's going to be. Yeah. And it's going to be like, hey, who's the oldest guy in the room? Justin Smoke, come on up. And what if Smoke goes, no, not me, like one of the kids.
Yeah, just gives the guy the bird and says, no, thanks.
Not happening.
It's not funny for me.
Yeah.
It is, actually.
Kind of what I'm concerned about.
Have you ever seen them? They're actually pretty funny.
It can be well done. I'd like to believe they didn't pick some guy off Yelp and they're paying him $500.
Like, but it's different if in a public setting as opposed to like just a dressing room. Like, guys, we've got this guy coming in.
Well, usually you go to it, it's at a bar, you're drinking, you're out, you know,
it's
you're having
social
fun.
Event.
It's a social thing. If this is like, you know, hey, once batting practice wraps up, hit the showers, and then Goofy the Clown is coming in.
Carrot Top coming in.
Carrot Top's coming in.
And the guy's pulling rubber chickens and stuff out of a chest.
Right.
It's not good, but so, I don't mind the outside.
I hope it works for them, but...
Maybe Stroman. What if he, like, implements a trigger word and then forgets it and it's still implemented, and then the... the catcher comes out and says...
That's the joke that people are making here. Like, yeah. What if...
Blue Lagoon, and like the guy starts dancing around.
Maybe this could actually help them, though. Forget dancing around. Like, if you're a Kevin Pillar, like, lay off the changeup, you know, yeah. Or lay off the curveball. I'm going to hypnotize you to actually be a competent baseball team. Like, does he have that kind of power?
Well, if
like,
they
can
end
I hypnotize
up,
some guy?
I know? Tried to do hypnosis for flying. I just open my eyes every time and say, I'm not hypnotized.
Did they go, you didn't go under?
Were
they
no, I was
saying,
like,
are you?
I don't know what you're doing, but this is, I don't know what the hell you're doing.
I can't picture myself going under, quote unquote. I can't picture that. Like
I can't
see
you going under.
I can't. I don't. I think I would have like the mental ability to fight through it.
Just a lasagna and lie down and you're under.
Right. All right. We'll see what Ray has to say about it. Ray's coming up. Can't confirm or deny at 5:30.